Okay, we're going to call tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting to order. I'm Dawn Vogelsberg from the 3rd Ward, and it's my turn to host the Committee of the Whole meeting. Let the record show that all the aldermen are here except Chuck Brown, who is out of town, and Dean Kilberg is at a golf outing for community chess, and he'll be coming later. So we have a big agenda, so let's kick it off with the consent. Do we have a motion to consider the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Marks, and second by Sam Hill. Anybody have any comments? I mean, not Sam Hill, Ron Singer. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. And first up is Economic Development Director Ellen DeVito with her presentation.
It's like, oh, that's my phone up here. I left it here when I did the PowerPoint earlier. Hi, everyone. Good evening. My thanks to Paul Evans and Neil Reeves, who are here with us. Paul's our business development specialist, and Neil is interning with us for 2 years, and they helped with all of the data collection that I'm going to show you tonight. All right. The past few years when I've come up and I've given the department presentation, we've talked about what economic development is and defined it and talked about certain goals that we could have. And today I want to drill down a little bit deeper, and I want to show you the facts and the statistics and the data that we maintain in the department that we use to monitor how we are doing and how what we use to set goals. Now, this is the mission statement, and of course, everything we do starts with this mission statement that is adopted as part of the annual budget. We serve the community. We've got twofold. We attract appropriate business developments to the city, and then we market and we promote the city, both for business development and tourism, group tourism. And what we're really trying to accomplish is we're trying to influence revenue, which is the property tax and the sales tax. And at the same time, however, we're building the city. The city is our product. We're building the availability of commercial and industrial properties that are desirable to the business community. And we're building tourism destinations and amenities. That includes entertainment. That's one of the reasons the Evenflow project was so good, because it's brought some nightlife and a different age demographic downtown. Shopping, we've got two main shopping centers downtown and then out on Randall Road. I'll get into some of those statistics in a minute. Dining, lodging, parking. There's a lot of stuff out there that could be considered a tourism destination. Movie theaters, there's a new genre out there of brew pubs and custom distilleries that are circling in the marketplace. We've been contacted by some. But things to do when you come to town that you would stay other than just shopping and eating. And we're very cognizant in monitoring those and trying to bring them to Geneva. We're a very fortunate community. We have a very strong business community. We've got many resources. We've got sound utilities, sewer, water, roads, stormwater, fiber optic, our electric utility. We have weaknesses, too. And I think I've told you before, economic development is about bringing the right leadership to the table to try and address that. For example, extending utilities out to the southeast corner so that we can adapt. Have more industrial developed. Now, at your desk tonight, there was a packet, and I'm loosely going to go through, but I've given you some, and actually a copy of the PowerPoint and some of the handouts, so you've got them in front of you, some additional information. Okay. How do we measure what we do? We've got quantitative and we've got qualitative. The quantitative is the numbers, our equalized assessed value. You've heard me talk before about trying to get that under 70% residential. Our sales tax history, we're on a good roll right now. It is going up. We're fortunate. We won't stop working on it. Our hotel motel revenues are up about 6% for the year. We monitor the number and the mix of our businesses. We look at our availability of jobs. Last year I talked to you about the location quotient, those industries in which we were strongest in terms of concentration compared to the region. That was manufacturing of transportation, that's minor industries and everything that they do for the rail industry, hospital and medical, and then retail and manufacturing are our strongest, and I have some of those numbers in here again. We look at our vacancy rates. You've heard me talk about that a lot lately. And then we monitor the tools that we're using. What's the value in the TIF? What's the value of the SSA? How are we spending it? So we spend a lot of time collecting and building these databases, but then we don't just hold on to it. We communicate it outward to prospective businesses, to developers, realtors, the media. We're trying to influence that investment in Geneva because we're illustrating that Geneva is a good place to invest in. And economic development is really about protecting the value that we all have in the community here. Everyone who owns property wants to know that their property values are going to stay strong because it's a huge part of your investment in your own total net worth. And that stands true for the businesses and for our residents. So economic development is about protecting the investment that everyone has in Geneva. Qualitatively, we're building relationships because economic development is ultimately human geography. Who knows who? And who does business outside of town, might want to move in town. Roquette came here because of FONA. Last year, spring, a resident came to Alderman Singer and suggested we contact Harbor Tools, which is a tool store in Aurora that he shopped at all the time. We contacted them, and it's funny, Paul and I and Neil were at an ICSC meeting last week, and they're on the up-and-coming, rising, expanding list. But they say that they're not going to come here because the store in Aurora is enough for King County. But we are always watching for what's new, who's expanding. We look at the media. We look at who's advertising even. We look for businesses that have more than one location because we do like independent businesses here in Geneva, and it's a very different business owner that can operate one store versus multiple stores. So we're always looking for the independent folks that are in more than one location and then approaching them to say, hey, when you're ready for that next location, come here. This is the request for information. You've seen this chart before. We monitor and we keep track of everybody who talks to us because we need to be able to go back to them. If you look at the bottom line, there were 239 inquiries in 09, 236. And some of these are ones we've initiated. Some are ones that have come out. Some are just people we need to keep track of. So not every one of these numbers was someone saying, hey, I'm going to put my business in Geneva. But we have to have a way to keep track so we can go back and say, hey, you know what, that Aurelio's Pizza just moved in the old space is a really good space for, remember that lady that called us 5 years ago and wanted, you know, and we'll go back and we'll look. But that's one of the ways we keep ourselves organized. This is the equalized assessed valuation. And I've got two slides on this here. You can see the number of parcels, which is in the angle in the black, has gone up. We're at 9223 parcels right now. The EAV is going down. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, values are going down with sale prices. Secondly, commercial and industrial property owners are aggressively seeking reductions of their valuations, and they tend to have legal staffs where they can hire folks. But this is what's going on. This next slide has the actual numbers. And on the right-hand side, you can see the percentage that's residential, the percentage of the whole. Now, in 2003, 2004, the Commons was coming online, and you can see the residential portion went down, so there was a direct impact there. And then we had the industrial park coming up with a FONA was built in 2006, for example. And that's when we were about our lowest, and then it started to rise a little bit. And again, here's just a graph with the light blue being the residential and the darker blue being the total EAV for the city. Here's the distribution of businesses in the community. We maintain a database. It's getting better and better each year with more and more information. 60% of the businesses are downtown. 25% of those are retail walk-in tourism-type businesses. So starting at the top, west of Anderson is everything from Anderson Boulevard west, including Randall Road, South Street, everything west. Central tourism is the clothing shops, the shoe shops, the restaurants, the ones that we're marketing to the tourism market. And then there's another 348 businesses between Anderson and Eastside Drive that are just offices and service and some light industrial that's still out there. And then Eastside Drive East is 98% of the business, is 98 businesses, 10%. This is the location quotient that I mentioned from last year. You know, our economy is very heavy in retail and service, and many of our businesses are reliant on outside visitors. So looking at this transportation manufacturing, the location quotient means that if in the average city there's 100 jobs, we had 691 in that sector. So we're that heavy in it compared to the everyone else as a whole, but yet it's only, you know, 2.7% of our employment. with 347 employees. Now, in the packet that we gave you, you've got one page that is the location quotient for the jobs that are here and one page that's the location quotient for our residents and the type of jobs that they hold. So you can see the difference. But you can see here 24% of our jobs are in healthcare, 18% in retail, 13% in manufacturing, and 11% in food and lodging. Sales tax revenue, as I stated, and you see every month in the manager's report, we're on a rise. Now, this is interesting. This is what the Geneva Commons has done for our tax base. And the first line is the core of the commons. It's the main mall itself with all the small shop and the outlots where the Potbelly and all the restaurants are, and then Crate and Barrel, because that was part of the original plat. And the EAV there is $27 million, and they brought in they had $91 million in sales last year. In comparison, Averill Road is $19 million. And then all the industrial around Averill Road is $25 million. So you've got that, you know, comparable what they brought to our property tax. Obviously, the Commons has brought more in sales tax. The other shops there, these two numbers, if you were to add them together, represents everything from Brisher to Williamsburg, Randall to the back of the center. So the other DSW Shoes North and the Randall Outlets is the second line. And then here again, this is the percentage of sales compared to the total sales tax for 2011. We had, I'll say total sales, not sales tax. We had $462 million in sales in the city, and 21% of that came from downtown, 19 came from the core of the commons with another 8 from the remainder of the commons. When you think about that, the remainder of the commons are big box stores, so it's a different dynamic. I was going to bring Paul up here to talk about the vacancy, but in the interest of time, I think I'll just run through these. Paul maintains our available sites database with Neil's help, and we've given this number to you before. On Randall Road, we're at 1.4 million square feet of total retail with a 4.1% vacancy, and that includes Ross Dress for Less coming in. The only place we really have vacancy on Randall, we've got that LFI Center where Chipotle is. There's some vacancy there. There's the old Talbot space that isn't quite full at Christina and Randall, and then we've got 30,000 square feet in the Commons, and it's half of what's available. Yet the Commons itself is at just over 93% occupied. And the Kane County rate right now is an 11% vacancy, and we're at 7% in the Commons. We're at 4% in the whole Randall Road. So we're doing better than the region as a whole. Downtown retail, this 835,000 is again Anderson to Eastside Drive. If we took it down to just the historic district, which is mostly the west side of the river, it's 660,000 square feet of retail. You know, because then when you go to Eastside, you're adding on Aldi and CVS and a couple other retailers out there, the Dairy Queen, Munchie Peas, that kind of stuff. We're at 12.8 vacancy there compared to the 11.5. Now, this has gone down dramatically since we first gave you this number. In May, we were at 15.3. In January, 15.9, and we're showing 12.8. And if we were to take out the Millrace Inn and the U.S. Bank building, what are we at, Paul? We're at 8.5. So we are holding our own in the marketplace. And then here are the larger vacancies downtown. Again, it's in the handout that you have on your desk. Downtown office. Office is the largest vacancy anywhere in Chicago. And in the east-west corridor, in which we're classified, there's a 21% vacancy rate, and we're a little bit higher. We've got 23.9 downtown. Recruitment of office is a good strategy for us, but we do have a concern on the timing of that recruitment. In your packet, I gave you something from one of the major brokerage firms, which shows the east-west corridor. And we do not have a lot of Class A office, is what I'll call it, the multi-story elevator first-class office space. We are a secondary office space, and our best candidate is going to be a resident who has an office somewhere else and wants a satellite office, or has moved their business back here. Alderman Cummings, I think that was your situation pretty much, wasn't it? and I can think of a handful like you. So that's our best candidate for office recruitment. Office recruitment is good for us because it's daytime population that will eat and shop locally. But I'm going to caution you, we've talked during the downtown master plan that maybe it's time to do first floor only retail downtown and the rest of downtown, because if we go out and we recruit office, we don't want to fill all these first floor spaces. We'd like the core to stay retail with the upper floors and the outer fringe downtown to be office. So the timing on that is important to remember. Then I've got the industrial. We are a very desirable industrial location. We only have 2.5% vacancy of the 3.3 million square feet that we have. And we're 12% of the Fox Valley market, which shows you we're just a very small sliver. We just don't have the inventory, and that's why it's so important to bring on the Southeast Master Plan, because people will want to be here because of our utilities. We have clear, abundant, pure water, and we have got lower cost electric. So, again, the regional vacancy of the Fox Valley is 9.4, and the NIA Hifman sheets in your package. So that is my last slide. If someone could get the lights for me, and I'll take any questions if you have them. I have like a whole stack of backup information, so what do you want to know?
Does anyone? Okay. Alderman Hill?
Thank you. I missed the first part of your comments about downtown office.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we look at this slide, we have 545,000 square feet of office between Anderson and Eastside Drive, and it is 23.9, it's 24% vacant, compared to 22% in the region. And my caveat on filling it is that it's good to fill it because the folks that would locate there, it's not primary, you know, four-story elevator first-class office space, but it's really nice for folks that live here and work elsewhere and might want to have a satellite office. But I'm also giving the caveat we want to be careful before we start recruiting it that we make sure our zoning ordinances will put the office where we want it to be. And when we do these numbers, we've been tweaking them a lot. Some of the space is really hard. Do I classify that as office or retail? You know, Paul agonizes with it. The building next to Sue Cups and Dairy Queen, for example. Well, it's first floor. Should we put it all retail? Well, nobody's going to put a retail business in the back of that space. So this time around, we put it all as office, and we keep tweaking it. The numbers are getting better and better. So if they ever seem to you a little off, just give us a call. We might have made an adjustment.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Great presentation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just have a comment. Thank you very much for presenting this, because there's a lot of people that approach us, or at least me, and say, how come there's so many vacancies? And so I think that if they really look at the numbers, there aren't that many vacancies as they're assuming that there is. It's just a perception. So it's really important for us to get out the word, so to say.
And that's a really good point that you made. I forgot to mention because I was in the dark and I couldn't read my notes. The number that brought down the downtown retail so greatly, last week we had four retailers call and say, I've got my lease done. I'm in the final stages. So we took 6,000 square feet out.
Okay.
And one is the Sugar Path Bakery that's going to go. You saw the sign. We called them and had them get it up before the festival. There's a restaurant at the Berry House that she was in the final stages, moving from another community. So it's always great when you have another operator that's been in business. So we took out the four that called us last week, and I'm not at liberty to tell you who they all are because they're not all totally signed. So
thank you.
Okay. Anybody else from the dais? Alderman Singer.
Very nice report, Ellen. Really excellent. Very professional. I get quite a number of inquiries about the mill race. Mm-hmm. Can you give us any ideas as to a direction that maybe we should be taking? Or
I can tell you that the property is problematic. There have been several very high-profile regional restaurants that have come through and said they don't believe the value's in the building anymore. It is in the floodplain, and as we all know, the previous owners would sandbag it abundantly, and that didn't happen with the last owner. I email the broker about every other week. I don't always hear from him. When this broker first took on the listing, he's great. He knows what he's doing. He's a restaurant broker. I went through the building with him. He had two restaurant contacts that he said were giving it serious consideration, but he hasn't given me an update now in a month. I have emailed him, like I said, every other week. The question is going to be for the community, does it stay as a restaurant, or do we look for a tear down and a rebuild? Now, the building's been cobbled on so many times. I've met with several people. The mayor's met with several people. We've told them that the city is open to any redevelopment there, and that if it has a retail, restaurant, tourism-based first floor, we're going to be even happier because we want to be able to use our riverfront. And that came out in the master plan, that people want to be able to enjoy the riverfront. If somebody came in with full high-rise of apartments, I've told them, you know, I don't know what the council's going to say, but yet we want housing downtown to support downtown. We might not help you if you do that, but if you can bring us this tourism destination on the first floor. We've had several people look at doing the tourism stuff on the west side of Bennett, and then look at assembling the stuff to the east to do the housing. And I've told them that that's probably the preferred project for us, to keep the riverfront open for something that the community can enjoy.
Good luck. Thank you.
Well, and we've talked, you know, internally about pulling it up out of the floodplain and building closer to the road. It's real interesting. If you sit on 25 and you look north, the road kind of shifts west. I said to Dan, can't we just shift the whole road and get another 5 feet to build on? Mm-hmm. So there's some stuff that could happen out there.
Anyone in the audience have any questions? All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
Thank you. And thanks to Paul and Neil for helping. Okay.
We're going to move right on to our item five, items of business. Letter A is recommend renewal of group health, dental, vision, life insurance policies. And we have Lisa Jeffson here and Dan Walter, if anybody has any questions.
Does anyone else need
Alderman Marks?
You know, just one question. If I remember right, last year we had a lower quote from United Healthcare. And we were going to be looking at that. It was too late in the time to really adjust that, to give it a good thorough looking. Did we get another quote from them this year, or did we just stay put since Blue Cross came in at the same amount?
Good question. Dan Walter from Lundstrom Insurance. Last year, you'll recall, that's a great recollection. What surprised us last year was they initially declined.
Right, and then they came in late.
We pressed for that in writing, and they came up with a quote that was not looked at any medical considerations at all. We had some subsequent conversations with them, and there was the equivalent of our doubt.
We knew there was doubt.
Was echoed back from them. This year, with you having a 0% increase and the tenuous state of health care reform between the Supreme Court decision and the general election in November, we've been cautioning our clients not to transition unless it was absolutely necessary during an extremely unpredictable time.
That's fine. I just wondered if I knew that was
great
late.
Memory.
It was late, and we couldn't look at it, and we knew we were going to go back
and
to
it was
them. And
suspicious.
I just didn't know. Yeah, it was suspicious. We knew that at the time, and
thank
I just
you.
Didn't remember how we ended that. But okay.
Good question.
Alderman Dantino.
I ask this question every year. It's great that we didn't get any increase, but this is more for
Stephanie's
Mary or
here.
Stephanie. I see everybody else doing it, and I think it's time that we. As much as employees will hate me, that we look at raising their pay-in portion of the health insurance. We've got a very good program, and we're paying like 90% of it, I think, for the employee, or is it 100% for the employee?
It is about 83% for most employees with spouse or family, 90% for single.
Yeah.
The problem that we have is that it would only be applicable to non-union employees.
Well, you got to roll the changes in as they occur.
We would negotiate those contracts, but as you know, the police contract was just negotiated for the first time. So
then
the non-union would be paying more for than the union for a while.
That's the same story I get every year, is because we got different times, but you got to figure out a way to do that, because, I mean, the school district just raised their premium to the employees as well, and everybody's doing it as a way of cutting costs.
And that has been a discussion of our negotiations, and we will continue doing that.
What's happening with these discussions with the non-union employees?
In order to insist on a lower contribution rate for the employees, for union employees, we would likely have to go to arbitration.
So you're saying we can never do it?
No, I'm not saying that we can never do it. I'm saying that it's very difficult to be realistic. It's very difficult to change that, and you're applying it to one group at a time, which is very volatile as far as non-union groups going union.
Well, the way I read what you're saying is we're in a box and we can't get out of it because of the way.
I'm not saying that we can't get out. I'm saying that we try to negotiate it, but it is very difficult. I don't know of any other municipalities that have negotiated that into union contracts.
Are they paying as much as we are toward the premium?
We are average, yes. We do that comp study every year, and we are average contribution.
Well, I'd like to see that, because it's hard to believe, because I know what the public sector pays versus the private sector, and it's quite a difference.
We can provide the data from the survey if you'd like to prove it.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Wondering how the new health care will affect us. Will it? Does anybody know?
You know, Doc Bora? I'll be as brief as I can be on that. The two linchpin or bookends really were the Supreme Court decision and your renewal calculations were frankly started before the Supreme Court decision, which left it essentially intact. So we've had to plan as if health care reform is largely going to be most impacting in 2014.
Okay.
The general election is also really going to serve to either reinforce that or potentially alter it. What we've seen, and probably what contributed greatly to your favorable renewal, is over the last 12 months, the major carriers, none of them have wanted to be the poster child for health care reform. They have squeezed everything out that we can see them squeezing out. Your claims have become generally more favorable compared to their book of business, but the caution about us even going back to them to try and squeeze more out of it is your HMO claims per person went up between 41 and 67% on your two plans. So they're seeing a wrong direction trend on that, whereas your PPO is stable. So, but from the general standpoint of health care reform, this was going to be kind of a quiet period anyway. Most of it was earmarked to start in 2014.
Weren't they trying to grandfather that, some of the premium or coverage, the insurance companies, or am I?
I want to be careful about that word, because that has a significant meaning in health care reform grandfathering. In 2014 is when you're going to start to see the guaranteed insurability issues and mandates on employers for coverage.
Okay.
Some of the elements that went in the first 12 to 15 months based upon your renewal really weren't huge cost factors in Illinois for two reasons. You had, for example, the unlimited coverage, unlimited lifetime coverage for your HMOs anyway, and $5 million on the PPO was
right.
Common. $2 million was here. So that wasn't a huge cost factor. In the first wave of features, there was probably about a 2 to 3% bump on the total cost of health care. At the same time, the wellness enhancements that are prevalent, while they cause an initial spike, are really resulting in some reduced claims, which was the objective of that. So 2014 is really going to be the next major turning point. So frankly, next year when I'm here.
That may be turning.
I would expect that it would be.
Okay.
But again, I think the November election is going to be very telling of that, because it's either going to reinforce the direction of the health care legislation,
of the administration, right.
Or it's going to change it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions, or the audience? All right. Can I have a motion and a second for that?
So moved.
Second.
Marks and Sam Hill, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, unanimous.
Friendly.
Thank you. Item 5B, recommend approval of request by Knights of Columbus, Council 2191 to collect donations on public right-of-ways September 21st and 22nd, 2012.
So moved.
Okay, Flanagan and Hill. Did we have anyone from the Knights of Columbus who wanted to speak? Any questions? All right, all in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Item 5C, recommend issuance of special event class E4 liquor license to Fiora's at 317 South 3rd Street for Beer and Wine Garden on September 7th through 9th, which, of course, is the Festival of the Vine. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Ladra and Marks. Anybody have any questions about this? Dais or audience? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Thank you. 5D, recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of labor contract with Utility Dynamics in the budgeted amount of $334,640.77 for Fabian Parkway Underground Electric Relocation Project. Man, that's a lot of syllables for a little project. Can I have a motion? Hill, second for Maladra. Any questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, carries unanimously. Let's see if I can read this one. This is 5E. Recommend approval to grant public utility sidewalk and water main easements for Living Well Cancer Resource Center at Route 38 in Williamsburg. Can I have a motion?
So move.
Alderman Singer and Alderman Cummings. See how easy that was written, Mike Buffington? All regular words. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Give Pambroviak a little star there. Anyone opposed? No. Okay, motion carries unanimous. Thank you. 5F, recommend draft resolution authorizing award of bidding contracts to TACORP Incorporated in the budgeted amount of $346,000 for the water tower painting project. Sam Hill motions. And Maladra second. Anybody have any questions? Alderman Marks.
I just one question. You know, the bid came in at $330,000, and we're asking for an approval of $346,000.
Only because each tower was bid for one logo each, so we had to add that amount onto that.
So that's
the final project cost, correct.
So that's just the Geneva logo, or?
The logo that was put out there for the bid was the city logo.
Okay.
And then the alternate logo was also the school logo that is currently up on the school side or the football side of the Logan Tower by the high school. So then
the school is going to get – is the school paying for that or is the city
yes,
paying for that?
Yes, the school is paying for
that. Oh, so that extra $8,000 down there. Okay.
Yes, I just don't have anything in writing from them or anything.
Understood.
So that's
understood. I didn't realize that I saw 330. That's why I was asking, but it was only for one logo, and I missed
that.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Alderman Singer, did you have a question as well?
Yes, I do. Thank you. This project absolutely intrigues me. I'm afraid of heights. I'm not going up there. You're doing both interior and exterior.
Correct.
Now, when you're going into the interior, you're going to have to remove the water.
Correct.
Where's that water going?
Obviously the numerous benefits of the water treatment plant, but we will have the extra capacity out there at the water treatment plant. So capacity is not an issue. We're taking these towers out of service during our low peak season, which will be in the spring. The contractor would like to do both in the spring, so that's no problem. So the tower gets completely taken out of service. The pressures in the zones will still be managed by the pumps from the Dodson Street pumping station for the Kirk Road Tower. When the Logan Tower is out of service, the Dodson Street will also have some impact on the pressure, but also mostly taken up by the water treatment plant. So the pressures will remain fairly consistent.
Now, it's one coat on the interior or two coats, was it?
I believe it's two coats, if my memory serves me correct.
How, you've got to wait how long before you can fill that baby up?
The total time allowed for each tower is going to be roughly 21 days.
21 days for each tower?
Correct.
Very. Okay. That's interesting.
Thank you, because everyone wanted to know those questions, Alderman Singer. You know we did. Alderman Dantino.
Get inside and ping.
I know we do want to have a little tour. Well,
what about the Harrison Tower? Is that okay for now?
It's because of the different shape of the tower that hasn't taken on the weather beating as much as the other two towers. But, yes, that one is okay for now. Who knows, next year it could start deteriorating real fast, and then we might have to do something. But I'm taking it year by year on that one. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Alderman Hill.
We're not going there. No. The safe.
Back to when the mayor and my son were in high school,
I think.
Yeah.
Let's not incriminate anyone at the public meeting tonight.
You would have gained control.
My son.
I got it.
Your son spelled Geneva wrong, and I had to correct him.
Probably did.
It's embarrassing.
Didn't have a W in it.
That's right.
Get control now.
You would have to access both of them, the Kirk Road Tower and the Logan Tower, from inside, and there's security measures on both of those. On the Dodson Tower, I would hope that a fireman would say something, since they're so close, and there's lights over there, plus the ladder onto the tower is roughly 40 feet above the surface, the ground level, so it would, and plus there's a fence there too, so.
Right. Okay.
We haven't had any problems yet, so
just had to bring up some fun from past history, though.
Troublemaker. Okay. Any questions? Relevant questions out there? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. Motion carries unanimous. Item 5G, recommend draft resolution amending resolutions 9914, 2004-09, 2005-11, and granting conditional site plan final PUD approval for a building expansion within Geneva Business Park PUD, Duke Realty Corp. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And second by Flanagan. Okay, anyone have any questions for Mr. Unch? In the audience? Okay, let's go ahead and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I think we should just point out the looks on their faces. I know. I attended the Plan Commission meeting, and it should be echoed that this is an extraordinarily well-received project.
Oh, yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to acknowledge the good work of this team here, and Geneva benefits because of your leadership. Thank you very much.
Well, and please, if you would like to come up and talk about it, that's fine.
Well, no, sometimes, we don't
need to do that. Sometimes people like to quietly let it pass and get out. Sometimes ignoring you is the nicest way we could treat you. Okay, 5H, recommend draft ordinance amending a portion of Geneva Business Park, PUD, Duke Realty Corp. Any questions on that? Oh, can I have a motion?
We didn't vote on the G.
Oh, we didn't?
So move.
Okay.
Did we take a vote on G?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Passed unanimously.
All right, so I have Alderman Singer on
H.
Motion on H. Can I have a second? Maladra. Okay. Anyone have any questions about this portion? Sorry. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. That part of the motion carries unanimously. And on to the third part of it. 5I, recommend draft resolution approving final plat and subdivision for Duke Realty Geneva Business Park, PUD subdivision. Can I have a motion, Alderman Cummings?
Second.
Can I have a second, Marks? Any questions on this part of it? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so that'll be on the consent agenda next week at the City Council meeting. Thank you.
Which will be a Tuesday.
So. Which will be a Tuesday, yes, because it's later. Okay, thank you. Okay, 5J, recommend draft resolution authorizing release of memorandum of understanding between City of Geneva and Garden Six Joint Ventures. Can I have a motion?
So move.
Okay. Alderman Maladra and Singer for the second. Does anyone have any questions from the dais or the audience on this item? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Carries unanimously. All right, on to 5K. Recommend draft ordinance granting special use in the B2 business district to allow a drive-through banking facility, St. Charles Bank and Trust Company.
Second.
Motion from Cummings and a second from Hill. Do we have any questions on this? Oh, Alderman Singer, we do have
Yes, I would like to compliment the Historical Preservation Committee and the Plan Committee Commission for the manner in which they brought this project forward. I'm very pleased with the cooperation that did take place at those functions, those meetings, and it's just a thrilling thing to have this finally come forward, and I hope you gentlemen nothing but success and great luck with the program. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Thank you, Alderman Singer. Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a quick question for the structural integrity of the building. Opening up the large bays, will that cause any structural problem that you foresee?
Would you mind coming up to the mic and sharing your name and credentials before you answer? Thanks.
My name is Jeff Fleece with Charles Vincent George, an architecture firm in Naperville, and we've done extensive reviews of the structure of the building. And when we open up the bays in the back, it's important to note that there's openings inside the back of the building already. We're just going to enlarge them. We've had a structural engineer out to the site. We've already developed the manner in which to enlarge those bays, and have already started the calculations of how we're going to shore and brace the existing structure when the construction begins. So concerns there are none at this time.
And what about, I was reading the minutes from the Planning Commission,
mm-hmm.
and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody said that you were going to reuse the doors?
Well, the doors, there's been some interest in making it look like the doors are still there in an operating condition. So what we're going to do, and the IHPA, the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency, also has a suggestion for us that they want us to keep the doors in the up position but lock them down. So we're working with them right now. We might just keep the bottom two panels,
so lock them up.
So it looks like the doors are still there.
Okay. And I don't know if anybody can answer my question about just the front, if you're exiting onto State Street, will the areas in front of that in front of the driveway, will that all be non-parking? Is that how I understood it, or?
We are working with the city right now and trying to derive where there will be parallel parking on State Street.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, because I kind of read something about that too. So, and some of the stuff wasn't really clear as to how, if anything was resolved yet or not. So that's
not
the
yet.
Reason why. That's the reason why I was asking, so. Thank you.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Singer.
Yeah, thank you. Any idea as to when you think that you're going to begin the project and when do you think it'll be terminated?
Right now, we haven't submitted for a permit right now. Obviously, uh-huh. we're waiting for final city council approval, but we're hoping to get started yet this fall and then finalize in the spring.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I guess if there's nobody else to
make and then we'll throw it to the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, Alderman Flanagan.
I just wanted to throw this out. I mean, I'm not too crazy about a bank going there, but I do value what you've done with the building and how you intend to save the building. I'm just hoping that you'll be there forever. and if not, you know, that the building will be taken care of correctly after you vacated it. So thank you.
Thank you. And just as a disclaimer, a bank is part of our code, And it is true. A special use from the Plan Commission, so all our I's are dotted. Would anyone from the audience like to ask any questions or speak? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously, and this should be on the consent agenda next Tuesday as well. Item 5L. Recommend draft ordinance, amending Title 11 Zoning Ordinance, Section 1111A6, parking spaces and design requirements related to number of reservoir spaces for parking class 31A drive-through banking facilities, St. Charles Bank and Trust Company. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
That was Marks and Singer. Okay. Does anyone have any questions about this specific part of the project? How about the audience? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. And I forgot to mention that, of course, Alderman Kilberg is here, and I'm sure you have that recorded. I know. Thank you for popping. Okay, letter item 5M. Recommend approval. Right, that's where, yeah. Recommend approval to direct Plan Commission to hold public hearing on September 27, 2012 on proposed City of Geneva downtown station area master plan. And I think Mr. Unch was going to give us just a quick update on this before we take a vote, but can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Bladra and Marks. You just want to give us a quick update,
sure.
And then if people have questions, we'll take them.
As you all know, this has been a planning process that's been going on for some time now. We have gone through a process of really investigating and analyzing what we have in the way of assets and characteristics of our downtown area. We've gone through a goals formulation process. We've identified objectives. We've gone through a whole slew of various plan alternatives, numerous community meetings, workshops, charrettes, focus groups, key person interviews, gone through quite an involved process, and the draft master plan documents actually been posted on our project website for some time. And the last version of it, we have had two drafts that the Downtown Master Plan Committee has been working on. This last draft was dated June of this year. We conducted a public information meeting late in June, and it was well attended. We received a number of comments during that meeting, as well as in writing via letters and email and even telephone conversations. And in July, we sat down with our planning consulting team and with the Downtown Master Plan Committee. We walked through all the various comments that had been offered and came up with some adjustments to the plan. And they're relatively few in number. It looks like there'll be only about four or five changes made to the draft document. And most of the changes relate to specific areas that are illustrated in development concepts for various development opportunity sites that are identified in the plan document. And I wanted to spend just a few minutes just walking through some of those changes. In those illustrative concepts, what we're saying is, in those drawings, in those illustrations, these are preferred uses that we'd like to see for these designated areas. And it's not indicating that the city is going to initiate any action that would either involve city acquisition of property for redevelopment or anything of the nature. This is about identifying a vision, a future that the city sees and that the city council sees for these various areas, and we're indicating a preference of how we'd like to guide the design and the development of those areas and the uses that would go in those development areas. There are several sections of the development opportunity sites where we show row houses and townhomes as a new type of use that would be incorporated into those areas. We received one comment where there was interest in incorporating more flexibility in the type of housing that might go into those areas, such as single-family cooperative housing arrangements for seniors. And so as a result of the dialogue the Master Plan Committee had, we're going to incorporate some language that indicates some flexibility in terms of the actual dwelling type that might go into those areas, rather than focusing on just row houses or townhomes. There might be other possibilities of comparable density, residential density, that would fit into those areas. A second area that was discussed in our public information session and later by the committee dealt with property owners down in the area south of the railroad tracks between 3rd and 1st Avenue or Batavia Avenue. We have some automotive service uses in that area. We have some boutique-type shops in that area. We actually have some light industrial uses in that area. And the illustrative concepts in that plan, in the recommended plan, do call for conversion of that area over time as a potential site for some additional retail redevelopment along with commuter parking areas. And what we are going to be doing, and corresponding with our planning consultant today, and I thought I'd have this ready to share with you tonight, but he actually won't be getting this to us until tomorrow. But we're incorporating some narrative that really says that it's the city's intent to support the existing uses and the uses that are allowable and the zonings present in those areas. So there's no reference, no indication, no interest on the part of the city to push existing businesses out of those properties. But if those property owners are approached and if they agree to sell their property for prospective development, either individually or through some multi-parcel assemblage for redevelopment, that the preference in the plan would be for the concepts that are illustrated for the retail redevelopment and the parking, the enhanced parking, either in the form of parking decks or structures. So that flexibility is being incorporated into the plan. And then likewise for the property along A Street, this is on the west side, south of West State Street, between James and West State Street. You have a collection of industrial users in there, along with some automotive service uses. We're going to incorporate the same language in that area. It speaks to working with the existing businesses, but it does show a vision, a preference, if redevelopment were to occur, for the uses indicated for that area, which is a combination of housing and commercial redevelopment. And then one final section, and this is the area between 6th and 7th Street, fronting on the south side of West State Street. And you may recall from the plan that we've got to the east of 6th Street, we have the various newer developments that Stanton and Blood and Booze have done. In the plan, to the north of that area between 7th and 6th, we're showing a pretty considerable redevelopment that accommodates the new library site as well as new retail development. And then we're showing some newer development also west of 7th Street. The property owner that owns all of the properties along that south side of West State Street between 7th Street and 6th Street, he'd like to have the plan indicate that, again, he'll work with the existing businesses, but he would like to have some potential for consideration for a redevelopment project in that area. And so, again, the committee, Downtown Master Plan Committee, looked at that idea, and that's the one area where our planning consultant is going to be doing some adjustments to some illustrations to show that as an alternative type of use for that section. So those are the changes to the document. I'm really not intending to go through the plan in its entirety tonight. There's a lot of information. I think most of you have studied and seen the plan, have participated in the various meetings that we've held, and this action tonight is simply to set the public hearing date where we will go through a detailed review of the plan in public hearing format on September 27th before the Plan Commission, provide an opportunity for additional public comment, and we'll be working with the Commission on securing a recommendation concerning the draft plan document. So that's and what I have, and if there's any questions.
I was just going to reiterate. So it will be the draft plan will be on the city's website, so anyone can look at it before the public
hearing.
Absolutely.
In fact, mm-hmm. we're going to be communicating with each participant that's been involved in a workshop or a public meeting, and we're going to be communicating with each person individually that signed a sign-in sheet at the meetings, sending them a link to the plan and explaining these changes that I just walked through with you.
Perfect. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Unsch? Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I applaud the flexibility that you've developed in this, of those various areas where you have existing businesses who are very concerned about losing their rights to stay there for the rest of their business life. And yet there is also an opportunity in the future if they want to sell their business or their property, it could be accomplished, and you could come closer to what the plan really is desiring to perform. So I applaud your staff for getting that through those organizations.
Well, thank you. You know, this process, the whole year and a half plus that we've been involved in this is a lot about listening and about really trying to create a vision for the future of the downtown area. And at the same time, we're listening to people, but we've also done extensive analysis. We've done retail market studies. We've done office market studies. We've done residential market studies. So we've done a lot of technical work as well. And the plan is a guide, and it can always change in the future. But what's most important is that the plan should be a reflection of what this council believes is its policy for the future of the downtown area. And I'm pleased with what we have thus far to work with. We have a public hearing yet to go through, certainly, but I believe the plan is reflective of what we've learned and what the community's been telling us.
Any other questions for Mr. Unsch? From the audience? Anyone have any questions? Okay, so let's vote on directing the Plan Commission to hold public hearings. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Okay.
Nobody's opposed.
Oh. Okay, motion carries. It goes back to the Plan Commission officially. All right, item 5N, recommend draft ordinance prohibiting video gaming in the city of Geneva.
Second.
Motion by Cummings, second by Singer. Any questions? How about from the audience? We talked pretty lengthily about this at one of our fifth Monday meetings. Okay, so all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, no one opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Any new business?
Oh, I have one.
Alderman Flanagan.
My usual.
How could I be confused about her?
I know. My usual. I'm sorry.
You stumbled over
your
name.
Are you confused with Alderman Vogelsberg?
Yeah, how could I be confused about you? Alderman Flanagan.
It's just a reminder to everybody who's on the beautification committee. We're planting this weekend, Saturday. So if anybody wants to come out, we're always in need of help. Meet us at the post office at 8 o'clock, and we'll assign you a garden. Or if you just want to walk around, and that's fine, too. And weed, yes. Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
Madam Chairman, before you call for an adjournment, I think a young lady and I have something to do, a little song to sing to the mayor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Kevin. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you?
Yesterday, folks.
That was almost out of order.
Wow.
That was out of order.
Alderman Dantino has a question. How old are you? No.
I asked him how old he was. He won't tell me.
I am 48 years old.
All right. That's young.
Yep.
In July 30th, we had a meeting, and there was four items on the agenda, and one of them came up today. Can you give me a status on the other three items, or if they have to come up, or what? There was urban chickens.
Yeah, urban chickens is...
that issue.
Yeah, it's been cooked.
Who gave you the mic back?
I'm sure that'll appear.
Establishment of a culture arts for nonprofit status.
That was advanced.
I guess that doesn't have
to count.
Mm-hmm. That was advanced for...
An elected official's holding liquor licenses.
The last item, if I may, Madam Chairman.
Finally, permission granted.
And I'm going to include Alderman Hill, if I may. That matter was obviously discussed, and there was a preponderance of support to move in that direction via a policy initiative. Shortly after that meeting, Alderman Hill and I met to discuss the matter at Alderman Hill's request, and we discussed for nearly an hour some of the issues surrounding what I believe to be a challenge with respect to a council member also holding a liquor license. At that time, Alderman Hill indicated to me that he'd be having some additional conversations with not only his colleague, Alderman Brown, but also the one gentleman who spoke that evening who had expressed interest in not only seeking election but also holding onto the license should he be victorious. So I would yield the floor to Alderman Hill as to where he stands now, and then I'll be happy to provide some additional commentary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we are planning to get together with the gentleman who is concerned about it, as I am concerned about the present wording of our ordinance. And we have not set a date for that, but I can assure you that we will attempt to bring it back up to the floor and have another discussion in a regularly scheduled meeting. The meeting that we discussed it was, what do we call those?
Fifth Monday
meetings in which
it's
a policy discussion. And this one went a little bit further than most of the other policy discussions that we've had, as I recall. And an actual vote was taken, not the outcome, but the fact that there was even a vote taken was a bit of a different method of having something occur in that type of a meeting. So we are planning to bring it forward. We don't have a date yet, but I can assure you that we will want to discuss it again sometime this fall to get it on a committee of the whole meeting agenda and discuss it thoroughly and try to come with a final resolution.
Why do you say that was unusual? Because I thought we voted on every issue that night.
On that night we did?
Well, whether the staff should do more research or not. Yes.
Yeah. Straw poll.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
In the spirit of complete and utter disclosure, I will share with everyone that I am 110% opposed to amending the liquor code to allow someone to hold the license and serve. Obviously, my comments in the press following that meeting are, I think, fairly straightforward. I shared that with Alderman Hill. I believe that the mental gymnastics done that evening would have rivaled the dismal performance that the Chinese had in London. We tried our very best to change a law to accommodate one person. In fact, if you look at the record that evening, the one person who stood at that podium and said, I quote, "This is not about me," a nanosecond after the meeting was adjourned, he ran to the press and said, "I'm a candidate. It's not about me." Well, my perspective is, my role, I believe, is in part to protect, to preserve, and to ensure the integrity of the governing body that I belong to. There are always, will always be conflicts of interest among all of us, no question about it. Every now and then a conflict of interest will arise. Absolutely. We consult with our city attorney, city administrator, assistant, whomever, and we do the right thing by either recusing or not voting. A happenstance conflict of interest is one thing. A regular conflict of interest is something entirely different. I believe, although I've been charged with hyperbole, that votes on hiring a police officer approving code from the fire department, parking regulations, building code enforcement, not only closing times, et cetera, would rise to the level of a license holder having to recuse himself or herself from a vote. Number two, I was shocked at the way in which the chief of police's objective opinion was swatted away like some gnat. 36-plus sworn officers, the majority of their work is not, we know, enforcing liquor laws. But doggone it, every festival we have, multiple times a year, we do compliance checks. If someone lodges a complaint against a liquor license holder, our police will investigate that complaint, then report to me, Mrs. McKittrick, and the chief regarding whether there's anything legitimate to that complaint. We put our police officers in, I believe, an untenable situation by allowing. Some have said, number three, gee, let the gentleman run. No objection. Everyone has a right to run for office. If a person who holds a liquor license is successful in that election, that liquor license holder then has a decision to make. Pure and simple.
Sure he does, yeah.
I mean, that's what I believe.
Does, yeah.
The position taken that evening of let the voters decide, the voters have decided because we're all their delegates, if you will, their representatives. I don't speak for anyone else on this dais. I know I don't. But it smacks of creating an opportunity because there's a groundswell of interest? No. Because there's one person who's expressed the interest. I have written correspondence from that liquor license holder dated February of 2012 thanking this council and this administration, in particular Mrs. McKittrick, in particular Mike Frieders from the police department, in particular the Chamber of Commerce, thanking all of us for the opportunity to review the changes in the liquor code. No mention of, what about amending the code to allow a license holder to serve? Did it come out of the blue? I don't know. I have no clue. Every license holder that reviewed that code said nothing about amending the code to allow a license holder to serve. Not one word. We don't have a problem, folks, but I think we create a problem by amending the code. We create a problem for our police department, for our staff, whether it be public works, building department, planning department, the plan commission, the zoning board of appeals, you name it. I think we are best not to foment a problem, but to fight it and prevent it. That's why I would recommend strongly when this matter returns that all of us take a deep, deep breath and consider what ramifications lie ahead should we support amending that code. So, sorry about taking so much time.
Thank you.
Were you recognized?
I can't repeat it. And I want to acknowledge Alderman Hill's frank discussion with me as well. It was a private discussion, and it will remain that way, but Sam and I have been friends for a long time, so we speak candidly like all of us do. But I feel I owe it to a lot of people to speak candidly from the dais as well. And my position has not changed and will not change. This is not about that license holder. This is about this governing body and this community. My God, we just opted out of a video gambling license because of, as some have said, Alderman Maladra, may I borrow your phrase, morality, perception, image. Do we not do as much damage by amending the liquor code? We had 1,000-plus people sign a petition to not tear down the Pure Oil building because the Pure Oil building is part of the character of the community. Yet we jeopardize the very character of this council and this community by amending a code that raises suspicion, perceived, and real conflict of interest. Now I'm finished.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to either discuss about that issue or any other new business, dais or audience? Very clear. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, guys.